Synchronization, it's using a synchronized tone. If I remember right, it sends a single tone constantly, and then the other tone's carrying the data. So you've got a reference tone that you can reference everything else off of. FT8 doesn't do that, right? And the reference tone's going to help you with your Doppler shift.
Okay.
All right? So you can lock onto the reference tone, and everything else is relative to it. So then if the Doppler shift is going to affect everything, right? So that's kind of, again, all this stuff is built for a use case, okay? And the use case here is Doppler shift. You don't have that in terrestrial communication. You don't have to worry about it, okay? But here you do. So the synchronization, and it's telling me you can go down to minus 24 dB, which is significantly better than FT8. Yeah, it works better than FT8. What's the downside? It's twice to four times as long, okay? And it has features in it that you don't need, like handling Doppler shift, which you don't have to worry about. Terrestrial communication, which is where you use FT8, okay? That's Q65. Questions or thoughts about that? Because I'm going to go on the meteor scatter now.
So you said that you go to a chat room to do this. So are there still people using J65 as well? Or is everybody?
I think everybody's kind of going with Q65. John's nodding, so he remembers it the same way.
This is just an option in the program, right? It's not, you're still using the same.
If you open up WSJT, all this stuff's in there. You probably
have a feature
noticed.
Set that's available in Q65 that's not available in J65?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole piece of WSJT that opens up if you're running Q65 where it tracks the moon. Remember right. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of stuff that's moon specific in Q65. So yeah, you didn't know all this stuff was there. You just run FT8, but try some of these other things.
Yeah, I mean there's different buttons pop up, so you can select 30 seconds, 60 seconds. It knows that Q6, you know, there's different modes. So
yeah, it's all context sensitive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This many tones, this can send a lot more than 8-bit.
Absolutely.
Right. So is it sending Unicode at a time? It's sending HTML.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sending more than one character at a time if you're doing
tones. It could be, but keep in mind it's a very specific message. It's the same as FT8. It's a very specific message. So if it's taking 60 seconds of sending it twice as many times as if you send it 30 seconds. I don't know what the redundancy is, but there's massive redundancy. And that's the key to this. Okay. So, good on this, because I'm going to go to MSK. All right, what's the difference in the meteor scatter versus moon bounce?
Versus a solid object.
Yeah, right. So I try to catch a bullet. Okay, so you've got, you may have 100 milliseconds where you got to send your signal. Okay, so this is completely different. This is completely different. This is fast. Okay, they're running, yeah, 2,000 baud symbol rate. They're banging stuff through as fast as they possibly can.
First.
Because they're just going to be blasting out 30 seconds worth of transmissions, hoping that one of them's going to hit a meteor for 100 milliseconds and pop it back. Very different use case than either of the other two. Okay. 6-meter DX scatter, meteor scatters. We've worked meteor scatter. If anybody wants to work meteor scatter, let me know. But I'll tell you, optimal time for working meteor scatter for me being here is between 4 and 6 in the morning. All right. So, yeah, well, where's meteor scatter?
I'll get meteor scatter.
Come on out. But well, I ain't coming if you ain't coming, because you haven't.
So. How long did you say these bursts were?
They're telling me basically it can decode a signal if there's 100 milliseconds.
No, I mean when you transmit.
30 seconds.
30 seconds. And then you typically wait like 5 minutes.
You transmit 30 seconds, you listen 30 seconds.
Oh, and then you
transmit 30 seconds, you listen 30 seconds.
Okay.
So here's the problem with that, as you can see. There's got to be some synchronization there. All right. And we got into a situation the last time I was here where there was two stations over in Philly that were out of sync. So he's transmitting for 30 seconds. And then on the next cycle, he's transmitting for 30 seconds. You think we heard any meteors?
You just heard each other.
No, we just heard each other, and so did they.
Same thing.
Yeah. you're, at that point, you go home, and it's 5:30 in the morning. so your media scatter can be a little bit frustrating, but yeah, that's basically the way you do it. You'll transmit for 30, you'll wait for 30, you'll transmit for 30, and there's a protocol that I think if you're in the West, you're supposed to use one time zone,
right. Okay.
And the East, you're supposed to use the other, and the guy over in Philly didn't realize that. So basically, they're sending a 77-bit message payload with a 14-bit cyclic redundancy check. So there's a lot of redundancy in it, but they're blowing it out fast, 50 times faster than FT8 to capture a less than 100 millisecond burst. So it's not at all like Q65. It's blam, 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 blam. Okay.
How's it go?
Just be thankful he didn't do the 64 jokes.
somebody was telling me last week that when I was imitating the packet radio signals, Chris was recording what was going to do is the superset of nice. Making packet radio sound. Fortunately, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Still possible.
I know. I've been worried about that for the last month. Okay.
That'd be a good Christmas dinner episode.
Oh, great. Yeah. same forward error correction is FT8. So, receiver scans every few milliseconds, turns partial bits. All right. So, it's basically building these things up. So, this is obviously a AI generated image. 250 characters per second, 72 millisecond, ultra fast frames. 72 millisecond frame. Okay. That's it.
I've got what may be an off the wall question.
No, go ahead.
You're throwing some numbers out. 72 milliseconds, 77 bits and 14 CRC bits. What's the significance of these various numbers? I mean, 72 milliseconds, okay. That may be a matter of physics, but how about on the 77 bits and 14 bits? Do you know what the specific significance of those particular pairings
would be? No. I mean, I'm assuming there's a mathematical.
Well, that's kind of where my mind is.
Yeah,
I figure it out.
I haven't cared about that, so I haven't researched it.
Is that 14 bits in addition to 77?
Yes.
Or part of the 77?
No, I believe that's.
I think it's in addition. Yeah, okay. Because that's your redundancy.
Okay.
Okay, and there's I'm sure a mathematical way of filling in data when there is data missing from other data. You probably don't have to repeat everything. You can infer it in some way, and that gets into math that's beyond me. So. The 72 milliseconds, I'm guessing, is a function of how short does our transmission, how long is the average meteor reflecting the signal?
Physics in that case.
Yeah, that's right. I would think that's right. So they basically decided, well, we got 72 milliseconds. The average meteor transmit will reflect for 100 milliseconds or 200 milliseconds. We got to be shorter than that. Otherwise, I'll never talk to anybody.
Which would be far greater than any voice communication that you could do.
What's that?
Your scatter. If you're talking about 72 milliseconds as opposed to 30, it would take to verbally communicate that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you couldn't use voice over media.
Well, I mean, they do. You can.
I guess.
It's just not very
efficient. Like, you're too, hell.
Well, you hear things fade in and fade out. Yeah.
Bye. Bing. Is John. And that took a half hour. Slow talkers of America.
So if you have like 55 words a minute on CW, it's still quicker than that.
This is not fast. I mean, you gotta wait 30 seconds before you get anything.
Yeah.
You gotta wait a minute.
Yeah, but your message packet is 72.
Yeah.
Or 72 milliseconds. So you could ideally get that message in 72 milliseconds if everything was ideal.
Yeah, and it does come through when it decodes it.
Yeah, you have to wait. It doesn't decode.
It doesn't wait till the end. Yeah. Okay, that I do remember that from Meter Scout. Okay. I think of something else.
Yeah, but there's a whole message in one frame. 72
That's quite okay.
It'd be interesting to look at the content of this, but I think it gets into math of, of reassembling packets and stuff like that that would rapidly.
Yeah, because you're doing coherent frame averaging, at least for the short one. So it likes to hear things multiple times. So it's
putting it together.
Get through once, it won't know if it's right. It only hears it once.
Right. Well, if it had a cyclic redundancy check, it would know whether it's right.
Okay. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's wrong, it can't fix it because it's only heard it once. Mm. So if it's right, it will pass it. But if it's wrong, it can't fix it. It has to hear it again to fill
in the spots. Yeah.
The spots. So maybe they want to have two frames for each meteor pass. Maybe the meteor pass will give you 200 milliseconds, and they're going to stuff two 72 millisecond frames into it. I don't know. That's why they have the Nobel Prize. None of us here do.
It's thought-provoking.
Let's talk about
that. Hey, John.
Yeah.
So hands aren't the only ones that use meteor scatter. The U.S. Geological Surveys, they put out their remote water temperature, whatever sensing things, and they don't care if it takes 4 or 5 hours to get the data. The thing just keeps trying to send the data. And they can collect from all these remote sensing things. That way, they don't exactly know when they're going to get the message, but the message gets through. So that was my understanding, is that hams didn't invent this. They adopted it based on how it was being used in other areas as well.
They were actually using meteors to do this.
They're using meteor scatter to get the remote sensing data.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah, and I've heard of hams like working airplane scatter and stuff like that, which is...
The government realized that there's something that happens with meteors that doesn't happen with any other mode of communication, is that there's always meteors. Even though we don't see them, we're not aware of them, there's always meteors.
More so.
And it's a fairly reliable methodology for them to use in this case.
If you're willing to wait long enough, which is in the use case Jim has come up with, it's no harm. Yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering why you had a jet or someone for long distance communication. I'm wondering why they would choose that method over any other method that you could use right now.
Because it's low overhead.
Small antennas here.
Solar cycle. Small antenna. Yeah.
These technologies.
I mean, every 11 years, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
All right, so that's MSK 144. I'm going to go to Whisper. Any other thoughts on MSK? All right.
Sounds like a game.
Get them in the right frame here. Okay. So this is Whisper. This is a champ. This has got the lowest SNR threshold, and this is what we were using for the balloons. Each of the balloons, we had a little Raspberry Pi running the output of a Raspberry Pi, 100 milliwatt, probably less than
that. It was less than one.
Yeah, way down, because it's battery powered and stuff like that.
Solar powered.
And we're getting stuff all over the world. It was amazing. So, what is this like? Well, they're going into the use case here too. So. Here, basically, you're looking at really weak signal stuff. There's no particular urgency to get data across, as opposed to FT8, where you're working a contest or something. There is some urgency. You do want to, get some kind of throughput through. You're running really, really low power. You're running devices that may not be real radios, like our balloon. Okay, and there are Whisper transmitters. There's little packages you can get if you want to set up your own Whisper station. There's transmitters from QRP Labs and stuff like that you can put out there, and you can set up your own Whisper beacon and transmit and stuff like that. If anybody's interested in doing that, you can also build them on a Raspberry Pi, and that'd be a nice next Saturday project if anyone was interested.
Yeah, I think it was originally kind of intended to run on 5 watts from a standard location, just so you could kind of see what paths were open in whatever band that you wanted to operate.
Okay. This is kind of interesting. 4 FSK signal at 1.4 baud.
Yeah.
All right. How's that different from MSK 144? You know, 3 orders of magnitude. All right, so here you're not waiting for a meteor. You're going to send a signal with...
It's like recorded.
7 meteors have gone by. Yeah. It'll be B2M at its greatest hit.
That's lower than the current version of Voyager spacecraft.
Mitchell's going to play a data class. Yeah, so...
I'm trying to... Look at the math doesn't check here. It's 4 tones, right?
I believe it is, yeah.
Well,
yes.
4 FSK, 4 tones.
Yes.
Spacing is 6 hertz per tone. That's only 24 hertz wide, not 200 hertz.